With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's just, we won't do a formal open. We do that on our own at the end.
I don't give a fuck. Just do whatever.
That's perfect. Well, hey, it's episode number 2.
We're back again.
Of R2C2 is uninterrupted. We can add that, like, you know, the is uninterrupted part to the R2C2.
Yeah.
Since we are now part of the uninterrupted family.
Yeah, I like that.
Me too, man. And, you know, like when people ask, well, what is the podcast about? I'm like, with Star Wars, of course. Like, what else?
Yeah, no, it's about everything.
No. It is. It's about what's going on in the sports world, entertainment, fun. Really, I'm just here for your laugh. Like, that's why I'm here.
We get that a lot, too.
We do. Because you got a great laugh.
We got some good guests, too.
Oh, we do. We, you know, I think, like, CeCe and my whole thing behind this, and you correct me if I'm wrong, C, but we wanted to be able to have, like, longer, interesting conversations and just, like, have fun and storytelling.
Yeah. No, we don't want to get, like, too deep and, you know, like, I mean, if we do, then it's good. But, you know, we want it to be lighthearted.
Yeah, not any of this, like, gotcha stuff.
No.
That's not what R2C2 is about. It's about putting people in a comfortable setting and letting them just relax and tell us stories and us just kind of, like, bullshitting with each other, too.
Yeah, for sure.
And getting to talk about some things that, you know, obviously you have the inside of. From your experience in the majors, and that you take us inside the clubhouse in ways that other people don't. And I'm just thinking, if I'm having this much fun right now calling your guys' games, it must be fun as hell in that clubhouse
right
now.
Yeah, it's been fun, man. But you know what is weird? Because like we all keep saying, like, we're going to get better, which is crazy because we've been playing good, you know, like, and that's fun to be a part of because – you know, we're all, like I said, it's a good group, so we all pull for each other. We all have a lot of fun together. And, you know, like man to man, everybody keeps saying, like, we're going to get better. So it's a lot of fun to watch Glaber do his thing.
Oof.
Miggy's been, you know, been doing his thing. He's been hitting again lately. So, the kids are re-rolling, man.
But you know what's crazy? It's like, I agree with you. You can get better even because Stanton hasn't had his, like, huge tear yet, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Gary's just starting to get hot. As consistent as Judge has been, you know he could still go on one of those, like, 10 homers in a week tear.
Yeah, and Didi, you know, he started off hot and got cold, and now he's starting to hit the ball hard again. So, Gardy's playing well. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch, man, I'm telling you. And this is why I signed up.
We can reveal it now because everything worked out. But when the Yankees traded for Giancarlo Stanton on your secret Instagram account, you posted that picture of Stanton with the, I think it was the Evil Empire or something, and you're like,
I'm trying to get a front row seat to this. Yeah, it's been fun though, and like, but even more so than, like, you know, us winning games, it's just us hanging out. It's been cool too. So it's
everybody gets along.
Yeah, it's a good group.
That's a good group, man. I mean, now are you going to come up with something for the thumbs down at some point? Like something new this year?
No, I mean, if it happens, it happens. You know,
okay.
The thumbs down was, you know, when that type of stuff happens, it's like a natural thing. You can't, like, force, you know.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Like, you can't force it.
Just waving his arms wildly.
Yeah,
right now.
You know. So, like,
check out.
You just got to let it happen.
Courtesy of you, your soul food spot in Kansas City.
The best, right,
dude? It was unbelievable, man.
So that's my favorite spot, and just the people, and I just love Kansas City, man. So the people around there are really nice. The food is good. The ballpark is awesome. It's a good place to play.
What is that seasoning on the fish?
I have no idea.
But it's unbelievable.
Yeah, they had it in that little cabinet over there. They sell it.
Really? Oh, yeah. Man, I should have bought some of that. Hey, what did you think about the Rays starting Sergio Romo back-to-back games?
I mean, I heard about this, but did it work out? Like, did he get the guys out?
In the first game, he struck out the side. I don't know what he did the second game.
Then they won the first game.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
I'll look up what they did. Yeah, the second. But like as a starter, that would bother you, right? If somebody was like, "Hey, you're going to come in the second inning instead."
Oh yeah, for sure.
You couldn't do that.
I would not. That would piss me off. But they're short. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. They're short starters, and they got to figure out ways to try to you know, get through games. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, if it works out for them, do whatever you need to do,
yeah.
You know? But it's just crazy. They started back-to-back games, and, you know, so if he started the, you know, they struck out the side in the first.
Yeah.
The starter could have started and, you know, gotten to the sixth, and it could have been the same three hitters up, and he could have struck out a sign in the sixth. So, you know, I mean, it's true.
And he threw an inning and a third and didn't give up a run the second time. So they ended up losing the game. But it's an interesting tactic, right, because at least you're pairing up the reliever with the top three hitters in the order, and the Angels
are right-handed. At the beginning of the game.
Yeah, I know. It's weird. Well, I just feel like it might take a starter out of their rhythm.
Oh yeah, for sure. It takes you out of your rhythm. I mean, you're not starting the game,
right?
So you're not starting. I mean, it's just, I don't know. I feel like this is like the Rays watch too much MLB TV, some bullshit like that.
Like just trying to come up with like,
this is like a Brian Kenny thing.
It is a Brian Kenny
thing. Yeah, it's fucking
stupid. Bullpenning. So yeah, you're not a fan of bullpenning.
I'm not a fan.
When are we getting you on MLB Network to debate that with Brian Kenny?
Never.
That one's not happening.
Nah, man, he's the smartest dude in the room. Let him do it. Let him have it.
Let
man.
Him take care of it. How about, did you see this 19-year-old homering in his first start for the Nationals?
Bomb, too. Dude. Deep, left center and off a lefty, man. That was impressive. Everything about it was impressive.
And you, were you 19 when you debuted?
I was 20.
20.
Yeah.
What's the toughest thing where you feel young? Like, where you're like, whoa, I'm young in this right now.
For me, it was just being able to relate to the guys. I didn't have anybody on my team, I don't think, younger than 26 or 27.
Wow.
At the time. So, like, it was an older team, and I was 20 years old. So, I mean, I hung out with the bat boys and the clubbies, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, that was the toughest thing, is just finding somebody to relate to. Because all my boys are still in the minor leagues. But, I mean, I feel like they have some younger guys that he can maybe hang around with, but I mean, as far as going out there and play, you just, once you get comfortable, you can go play.
Speaking of young guys who are comfortable, Glaber's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Man.
And that's what I was about to say about, you know, like Glaber coming up and, you know, he seems he's comfortable, but it's a bunch of young guys here. You know what I mean? Like his boys are here. You know, like Mickey's here and, you know, I mean, Didi's here and these guys. I mean, well, Didi's not young, but I'm just saying it's a bunch of younger players that makes it easier to come up and be comfortable as a young clubhouse.
That's true, man. Well, the other day, Yankees started an all under 29 lineup for the first time in franchise history that early in the season. It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
I mean, let me tell you something. As a play-by-play guy, there's nothing more fun than all these home runs, man. It's
like, but the thing is, I mean, you can start, you know, guys under 29, but can they fucking play?
Mm-hmm.
And these guys can play.
They all can.
Yeah.
It's been fun. You excited for this this interview today, man?
Yeah, I am. I'm excited.
This is going to be good, yeah. Man. Mark Cuban joining us. I think we're both jacked up for this. There's just like, you can get into so much with
him. I know. He does so much different. You know, he's got the basketball, Shark Tank, everything, so I'm excited.
Do you have a business you're ready to pitch him?
No.
Well, here it is. Mark Cuban on R2C2 is uninterrupted. One of the things doing NBA play-by-play, right, that you always get told is like the Mavericks facilities are amazing. The Mavericks facilities are amazing.
We try.
Right?
We try,
but
yeah.
Then it keeps guys there in the offseason,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, see how it worked out for us these last 2 years?
But it's a recruiting tool, too. Like,
yeah,
guys want to be in, like, nice stuff, you know? Like,
no question. I mean, but, like, the whole league is amped their game. Like, when I first got in, it's been 18 years. It's crazy.
Wow.
People used to give me a hard time because, like, I brought in coaches. I brought in position. Like, NBA didn't have position coaches, right? Mm-hmm. In baseball and football, that's like you have pitchers, you have catchers, whatever. And so we had three coaches who did everything, player development and everything. And so I'm like, that's ridiculous. I spent more to fix computers than I did to train our players. And so I brought in coaches, any former player who wanted to come in and work with our guys. I'm like, it's no money, but you get into the game, right? You come travel with us, whatever. And then, you know, bought a plane. And then ever since then, it's been like an arms race. You know, it's kind of like
guys want that
started.
Stuff, though.
Oh,
like,
hell yeah.
Oh, they got like a pedicure chair over here. Like, we need like, you know what I'm saying?
No, it's true, right?
Yeah.
The barber, and unless it comes to their check, right? When they're free agents, right? It's like, wait, you're going to pay me $7 more? Fuck that. I know exactly how it works. Yeah, you know, that sounded really good, our own plan and everything, but $7 is $7. It makes me look better than that next guy, right?
You know what? It's true, right? Like, all the facilities and everything, they're great if the money's the same.
Right? Now, you know, like, we've traded for guys, and then it'd be like, oh, I went from the outhouse to the penthouse. And, you know, when a guy already got his deal, then he's fine. You know, let's move up. But, yeah, I've sat there with free agents, but we got this, but we got this. And then the agent comes back and goes, look, he just needs a dollar more than this guy. He hates that guy. And your pitchers are even worse.
Yeah,
right?
Pitchers are, yeah. You would have had a tough time with the pitchers, dude.
Oh, yeah, man.
Well, also, in your game, it's like it's totally open market, right?
Yeah.
I mean, with you, yeah, there is some creativity within it. But
salary cap and everything, yeah.
And there's a slotting with max players where it's sort of decided,
like, guys
right?
know exactly what they're going to get with the max and
right,
all that
exactly
stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
but the contracts are longer too, right? So you guys are going, NBA, Major League Baseball is like rent a guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you pay one, give him a little bit more money to play for 1 year. And, you know, it's just different.
It's a different
a lot more turnover because you got 25 guys instead of 15. Yeah, it's just a different beast.
What would be the, Mark, if you were just looking at that aspect of the league right now, what would be the biggest change you would
Major League Baseball?
No, for your league, for the NBA. Like, as far as the way the contracts go right now and the way your guys' salary structure
is. I don't know.
Is.
I mean, you know, it's – everybody's getting paid right now. I mean, there's a lot of money in it. Our revenues are going up. Salaries are going up. And so, I mean, it's working. I mean, there's still – our biggest challenge is just small markets. You know, it's just there's not as much money in some of the smaller markets for them to compete. Mm-hmm. And so the owners there, the owners in the smallest markets, for the most part, still lose money. And so that's the part we have to fix. Mm-hmm. Like in baseball, if you walk and chew gum, you know, or football, if you walk and chew gum because there's 162 games mm-hmm. where the numbers – you can make money, mm-hmm. you know. Basketball and hockey, it's a little bit harder for small markets.
That makes sense. I think about the one thing that I didn't understand when the CBA was being renegotiated was the salary floor right away. Because I felt like what it ended up doing is it forced these teams to spend money on players that maybe they didn't want to.
Well, see, yeah.
And instead of like sort of piecing it out over a period
over a couple
of time.
Of years
yeah.
You know, like we were in that position this year. Like, we didn't get the free agent we wanted. So we were under the salary floor. And so instead of just spending up just to give somebody money that I didn't want to give it to, mm-hmm. there's a little rule in the CBA that says if you're under the salary floor, you write the check to your existing players. And so I was like, cool. and then once the players figured out they were getting extra money, like, I think it was like we were $8 million under the floor. So it was like, you know, $400,000 a pop. They're like, if you spend that shit, ass, right?
We don't need nobody else.
Yeah, right? They're like, it wasn't our best season. So they're like, that's my money. And they're already spending it. You know how guys are.
Yeah. Well, and it doesn't matter, right? It doesn't matter if it's a dude making $20 million.
Oh, it
or
doesn't
if it's
matter.
A dude
hold
making
on. Oh,
that's a little playoff bonus. Nah. You can get yourself nice with that little bonus.
Exactly.
You didn't plan on having it anyway.
Yeah,
right?
Well, in baseball, they'd be wearing it. They all ice isn't as big as it in the NBA anymore, but baseball.
And I feel like that's always a thing in baseball too, like the playoff shares and those conversations.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Do you guys have that?
Absolutely.
Share?
And who gets a full one? Who gets?
That's how you really know if you got a good bunch of guys on the team or not.
Vote you the shares or not. If you get cut out.
Yeah, yeah, when you start seeing some of those shares meetings, man, you start seeing people true colors, man.
Time to name names, CC.
I stopped going for a while, put it like that, yeah.
Oh, man, that's uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to be a part of this.
Every team has got those guys that are the lawyers, right, the partiers, right, the cliques, right? And it depends how old your team is,
uh-huh.
you know, dudes that are married and, you know, if they're 30, 40, whatever years old, then they're doing their thing and they're telling stories about the young bucks, about what it was like when they were dudes, right? Yep. When they were kids, right? Yeah, but it's just different, man.
Yeah.
Now social media changed everything.
Big time.
Now everybody's a brand.
It's true.
A brand.
How much differently has your job changed, Mark? Because of social media.
It's gotten easier. It's gotten easier.
Really?
Oh.
You can weed them out easier, right?
Well, not only do you know going in, but like, everybody knows there's a camera on them 24/7, right? So back in like 2000, 2005, whatever, guys would go out and I would be worried, like, they go out and just get trashed and I'd get a call at 3:00 in the morning where guys would do something stupid, not thinking that anybody would know about it and they could get away with it because 99% of the time they did get away with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody thinks they can get away with anything, you know? But more importantly, they're brands. So like, Everybody's trying to get paid off the court somehow through a shoe deal, through endorsements, just through building up their Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter followings. And so they come in, like we're interviewing kids in the draft now or in the combine just a couple of days ago. And almost every guy came in and talked about their brand. You know, 18-year-old, 19-year-old
kid. That bothers me, though, you know, as an athlete.
It's crazy.
Just be good at what you're good at. Like, if you're good at basketball, do that and be the best at that and your brand to build off on the court.
But remember, in basketball, like, there's kids that are in high school now that they've got videos that have millions of views because they dunk or they have these mixtapes and, they've been ranked. So they were, like, ranked, you know, the top point guard for 9-year-olds.
Yeah.
Which is so crazy.
That's the shit that, I mean, are you kidding me?
No, it's real, though.
I hate that, right?
The class of 2033,
already.
Yeah.
Right? But it's nuts.
Yeah.
Meet my son. She's 6 weeks old, right? But she's the top ranked point guard. Male or female,
crazy,
for 6 week olds.
It is insane.
Like, it's totally insane.
And there's a part of me that when I hear that, I'm like, okay, you know, take advantage of your opportunities, make your money, do what you can do. But you have to take care of the main thing.
You got to take care of the main thing,
yeah, because there's lots of high school heroes, right?
Yeah.
Where their best days and they you know, were big time and they were scoring 30, 40 points. And then when they get to a higher level competition, it's like baseball, right? You know, hey, I led my league in home runs when I was 12 years old. I was a top pitcher. I was striking out everybody. But that 75-mile-an-hour fastball didn't go very far. And it's the same in basketball. And you know, kids fall out. But still, you know, it's crazy that they have these rankings. But, you know, the branding side in social media, I'm glad that they're into their brands because it makes them more careful. Mm-hmm. You know, I agree. If you can't play, you can't play, right?
Yeah.
Nothing else matters at the end of the day. But if they're worried about their followers on Instagram, if they're doing mixtapes, you know, as long as they can get the work done and do their thing, keeps them out of trouble.
I was going to say it keeps them out of trouble, but man, it just... I don't know.
I'm with you, right? It takes away half the fun.
I'm kind of old school. I mean, I am because I still play in this era, so I understand it. But I'm old school in the sense where, like, I feel like if you just go out and play hard and do your thing on the field, good things will happen.
Always, yeah.
You can't force it and you can't rush it. I mean, it'll happen when it needs to happen.
But kids coming in, like, you know, if we're following the draft, man, there's been like 5 or 6 kids say, I should be the number one pick, right?
Yeah.
I'm the best player. Like, who even says that?
Yeah,
you know, if you would have said that back in the day, right? The minute if you made it to the league, someone's going to kick your ass,
yeah.
Right?
And it's going to get out there. Like, everybody's going to know that.
This dude's got this. He's there, whatever, right? Now they're all saying it because he gets some more Instagram followers.
I know, and I always am. I'm never sure how you balance that. Like, this is a turnoff, and this is just confidence, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I feel that way when I hear LeBron speak.
But I think it's just depending on who you like and who you don't. You
is
know
what
I'm saying?
A lot of
because
it, yeah,
like
yeah.
I mean, I'm an Embiid fan, but like some of the stuff that he says pisses me off. Like when he said, I don't think, you know, in the playoff game, he was like, I don't know how you could play me for a whole game and not have no fouls. Like, what?
Yeah.
Who are you? You know, like, you play, like, 15 games. Like, relax. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man.
See, guys will take it in the NBA. They'll take it from Embiid because he's hysterical, right? He'll crack people up in games, right? He talks like
– he's got real humor.
He's not mean about it, right? Like, some guys, they're like – they really believe all of it, and it's like they think they're badasses. And Embiid is just so goofy. It doesn't matter. He's a good dude. Joel's a good dude.
He is a talented player, man. You know, thinking about the playoffs, Mark, the league is obviously – it's an amazing place when it comes to viewership, revenue, everything. All these things, right? But I know for the diehard NBA fan, there is some part that even though they've enjoyed the journey, they look at it and they say, well, if everyone stays healthy, it's a fait accompli that the Warriors are going to win. Do you think – is it a problem?
It isn't just because – you know, they become the bad guy. Unless you're a hardcore Warrior bandwagon or grow up in the Bay Area or fans from the Bay Area, people want them to lose.
Yeah.
I always root for the – if it's not me, if it's not the Mavs, I'm rooting for the underdog.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, and so I think that root against them. And plus, Steph is a good guy. Kevin's a good guy. Clay's a good guy. They've got a bunch of good guys, right? There aren't people you just look at them and go, yeah, I don't want any part of them. So, you know – I'm not going to say who I want to win, but because that'll backfire on me.
It's crazy, though, because we talked about this in in October.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we know if the Warriors and Cavs or whoever stay healthy, this is what it's going to be. But it's so many interesting storylines in the NBA that you got to watch every game. You know what I mean?
And plus, just watching the games are so good now.
Yeah.
Right? The pace is good, the athleticism, everything. But, like, you talk about the impact. Like, we knew going in we weren't going to beat the Warriors starting a rookie point guard.
Right.
Right? Yeah. We needed – so we decided, like, okay, we're not going to go sign some big, you know – go try to get one or two guys that get us up to 40 wins, because then we're just stuck at 40 wins.
Right.
You know, and so, you know, it does make a difference. And there were teams, look, we've had two losing seasons, our last two, but we went 15 years without a losing season. And so there was a day back in the day, like when I saw you after we won a championship, do you remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Of course I do.
We got to hear that
story. Oh, yeah. It's a Lavo.
Oh, you remember?
He had the trophy and everything.
That was great.
We were excited for it.
In New York. Was it the brunch? Was it
Lavo? No, it wasn't the crazy brunch.
You've done the brunch.
Oh, I've done the brunch.
Lavo brunch is the craziest thing
ever. I've never been a part of this.
No.
I need to go to – I want to go. We always plan on Sunday.
Wait, who's the crazy Cuban player?
For
Lakers.
Oh.
Lakers. Dodgers.
Puig.
Puig.
Oh, my God. I was there with him. Well, he was there when I got there.
Yeah.
At Lavo Brunch.
But we came in after we won. And everybody was so glad we beat LeBron in the heat. Right? Yeah. They're all clapping and saying, he's sending me drinks. And
it was great. Yeah. I couldn't believe he had the trophy, sitting at dinner. Like, you know what I'm saying?
I took it everywhere.
He took it everywhere. Oh, man. It was awesome. It was a good night.
You know what? I remember being it, because at that time – I was hosting a radio show in New York, and we created something called Team Anti-Heat. So we were just rooting for anyone
to
beat the Heat. And so I was the biggest 2011 Mavericks fan you could
Everybody be. Everybody was. Like, you know, prior to June of 2011, people hated my ass, but when we beat the Heat, I was everybody's best friend. That was great.
That's fantastic. I can't believe you guys saw each other.
Oh, it was great. Yeah, they were back at the table in the back, and they're sending drinks. And we're out the party. Like, CC wants you to have this.
Yep,
I can't drink
night.
That many, CC. I tried. But.
Where's the craziest place you brought the trophy throughout that run?
It was fun. I took it everywhere. I literally kept it in my trunk. And my buddies were like, come on, where are we going out, right? And we're like, so we'd go out to a club or something, and it comes, right? And so it's like, my wife was like, stop it. Enough already.
I would do the same thing. I mean, if they would let me take the trophy, I would take it
everywhere.
I'm just telling you, CC, my buddies were like, that's the world's best wingman. Bring it.
That's true. There's nothing better than that. Oh, I love it. You know, you were telling us before that you were doing hot yoga with Dirk.
Yeah.
Is this a usual routine for you guys?
Well, we just started back up. So last week was our first week, and so Tuesdays and Thursdays, 10:30. You know, we get a little group in there, and then guys come and go as they're in town. But yeah, it's good. Dirk's got me into yoga, and I like it now. Like,
that's
it's
awesome.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's good for you too. You ever done yoga?
I have. Have you done it?
Yeah, I've done it.
Okay, hot yoga.
Not hot yoga.
Yeah, hot work.
I don't think I can do hot yoga, man.
Or
I mean, you see me sweating
Nicole,
in Kansas
right?
City the other day. Just fucking shit off my hat.
Oh, my gosh,
like,
man. This dude.
I would die if I did hot yoga.
You got the Ewing sweats when you're on the mound, man.
It's bad.
Oh, I sweat like a pig. So
We had like a slow-mo cab. Like, and he's just like dripping off his hat, man.
Yo, I started taking this VersaClimber class.
Oh,
you seen those? There's like, they have a lady who has to come in with a mop after I'm done. It's no lie.
The VersaClimber. That's a good workout.
It's a killer. Yeah. It's only 30 minutes, fortunately, but yeah, it wipes me out. Good.
Remember, LeBron would do the videos with the VersaClimber. That's the first time I heard about it, but it's like that thing destroys you.
Yeah, it's really, really good. Like, but it's low impact, right? So it doesn't mess with your knees or your back or anything, which is why I like it. And you get competitive, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's the 80-year-old woman in front of you kicking your ass. And you go faster.
That's true.
You know, she's like the little chipmunk going like this. And you're trying to
keep up. Mike, you actually do your pregame media session on the treadmill.
I used to.
Right?
I stopped because they threw away because it got too old and smelly. But yeah, I did for like forever because you have a love hate relationship with the media, right?
Right.
When they're and so I was like, fuck it. I started doing my interviews and I'm on a Stairmaster, and so I'm up here sweating like a pig down on the media. And if somebody pissed me off, I'd start going like this, wagging my head, and they'd be all like ducking.
All right, who got the biggest like sweat puddle dropped on them?
All of them at one time. They all got hit.
You know, when it comes to media, the one thing I always get frustrated, as someone who's in it, but I get frustrated with, and part of the reason I stopped doing daily talk shows and wanted to, if I was going to do something like this, we wanted to do more of this kind of format, is because I feel like we don't empower experts, right? What we empower is entertainment. Or just the ability to argue. And if you're an articulate person, you can figure out how to argue anything,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no question.
But you don't actually know the content.
And this is a lot more fun. But there's no question. I mean, everybody's an expert, right?
Oh,
everybody's going to tell you, yeah, back in the day, they pitched 9 innings and threw complete games and da-da-da-da-da, and they lasted 3 years.
You know? Right.
You know, and the basketball is the same way. They're going to argue about this out of bounds play and this and that, but, you know, and think they're an expert, but they're fans, right? As long as they're into it, that's all I care about. You know, you got to take the good with the bad, but if they care enough to bitch, have at it. But in New York, there's just more of them.
It's just a lot of them. You know what I mean? You get used to it, but it's just a lot.
Still, if I just walk down the street in New York, like when I go to New York City, I love just to walk if it's a nice day.
Absolutely.
You know, I'll start up in the 70s and end up in the alphabet streets. And you start walking.
Just walking.
I live in the city. That's my favorite.
I love it, right?
Yes.
But people will literally stop their cars. Cuban, you suck. Cuban, buy the Knicks. It's crazy. Only in New York.
But you got to love that.
I love the passion
overall.
Oh, yeah.
I do.
People will just yell at you all the time. I love it.
You know, like just you saying Cuban, buy the Knicks. You know how many people, Knicks fans right now, are listening to saying,
man,
please, for the love of God, Cuban, buy the Knicks.
Yeah, not going to happen.
What about a baseball team? Is that
Those days are gone.
They're gone.
Yeah,
huh?
They didn't want me in. I tried twice, and they intentionally tried to keep me out.
I was excited for that, too. I thought it would have been good.
It would have been fun.
Yeah.
I was ready.
I thought the Cubs would have been great. You would have been great for the Cubs.
And the Rangers both.
Yep.
You know, it would have been fun. The good thing about not buying the Cubs, I'd weigh 400 pounds. I'd be sitting out there in the bleachers eating hot dogs and drinking beer the whole time, yelling and screaming.
Wrigleyville,
yeah,
up and down all the bars.
Day, every game, pregame, postgame. I'd get out there, take batting practice and everything. It'd be fun. Actually, I'm probably going to play. Dirk puts on a celebrity baseball game,
right?
Yeah, every year.
One of my buddies plays in that.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
June 8th
this
year.
Ryan Dreese.
Yeah,
and he pitches in it.
Yeah,
oh, it's not softball. It's baseball.
No, it's baseball.
Baseball. We play it where the Rangers minor league team plays up Dr. Pepper Park, and so up in Frisco, and so it's a beautiful setting. We get 7,000-8,000 people, you know, and you know, last time I've had both my hips replaced. So the last time I played was right before I got my second hip replacement, got MVP. So I'm going out on there. It wasn't because I did anything great. I just had I hit a double. I just connected with a game winning run and, you know, scoring position. So I was like, okay.
Are you guys using wood or metal?
Wood.
Nice. Yeah. It's a nicer sound off the wood, man.
Yeah,
really
and it's just it's real baseball,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's
real
baseball.
Because you get some big dudes out there
that can
play.
Hurt.
Yeah, because the ball comes off the bat. Yeah.
It still blows my mind that they use metal in college.
That's scary.
It's scary. If I had like a kid who's pitching, like Lil C's about to go to high school. Like if he's pitching in college, that would scare the hell out of me.
Yeah, I mean the bats are a little, you know. They're not as live as they were when I was playing.
Yeah.
But it's he only swings with wood.
Yeah,
he only
that's
plays
good.
With wood. Yeah, so
that's good.
That's good. That's how he'll learn better.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because you get a false sense of like strength.
Yeah.
Right? You, just,
you don't know.
Hero.
And
you think
really,
you're a hero.
It really teaches you how to hit better if you hit with wood. You know.
Right, because you know what it feels like coming off and everything. Yeah.
You know what your swing is supposed to be like. You know.
So what's the scouting report on Mark Cuban, the baseball player?
Switch hitter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can go both sides.
Oh,
yeah.
Damn. All right.
Yeah, but I used to play. We all did stuff when we were young, right?
Yeah.
But I pitched and played shortstop and whatever, wherever. I mean, I loved baseball. When I was growing up, baseball, I was a lot better at baseball than I was at basketball, and that was my sport.
And I know, and CeCe and I talk about this sometimes, like just how do you adapt the game to the shrinking attention spans, right?
You got to change.
Someone asked
me the question the other day.
Mm-hmm.
So here's – I'd make it so that when an inning's over, you go right out. Right, there's no other sport other than at halftime of like a basketball or in between periods where everybody gets a break.
Mm-hmm.
Right, the minute the last out is made, you throw the ball back to the mound and you come right out and you start. Right, the whole warm up pitches and everything. If you need to warm up, you know,
in between innings,
yeah, warm up in between innings. You add the designated hitter to the NL, so it's not a problem there, and so everybody just comes on and you just play. So that's the first thing. No throwing it around the horn after a strikeout.
Ah, that's the best part.
For you, it is. I know.
Say, CeCe's got Mike Harkey in the building. What's up, man? It's our bullpen coach.
What
here.
Up, man?
I have half enough clout to get up in this.
So you got to cut the time right. So yeah, so no throwing it around the horn after a strikeout or whatever. You just got to play, yeah. Right? And you guys are starting to bring in kind of a shot clock. You know, you get two timeouts. Period. End of story. Right, if you go out to the mound, you replace, or it's a timeout. That's it. There's no other reason to go out to the mound. And if you start doing those things, and the game goes from 3 hours
to back an hour to, and a half,
or 2 hours, yeah, 2 hours, right? Yeah, because
to get to dinner afterwards. Huh?
Yeah, right? Because if you're taking out all the warm ups in between innings, and you know, if you're taking out, you know, let's say 8 innings, and you're both sides, so you're cutting out, you know, 10 minutes. That's over an hour right there.
It is.
And then the game is like bam, 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 bam.
What do you think? Could you see some of this being adapted by your sport?
Honestly, with the in-between innings, I mean, I think a pitcher, you probably could be able to just throw a couple pitches down and then be able to just go back out.
Because the amount of time, I mean, you can even go straight back to the bullpen if you've got DH.
Yeah.
Right? You don't even have to go into the dugout.
Yeah.
You go down to the
go down the bullpen, be ready, right? And then come
and then
back
you
out.
Just yeah, or you guys got stuff underneath now, some where you can just throw down there if you need to go down there and get loose up.
Mm-hmm.
You throw two pitches, you know, but the mounds are all the same. You know, it's not like it's different. Like back in the day, it used to be a little bit different.
Yeah.
You used to have to adjust and all that. Dig in. You just go out there and play.
Nah.
And especially now with all the strikeouts and everything, and you know, batting averages, what, you know, Judge is leading you guys, what is it, 286? I mean, the Rangers are hitting 225.
Right.
Yeah. That, I mean, yeah. That's scary.
Yeah, no, yeah. The strikeouts are
way up. Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't need to give the pitchers any advantages. Wear their asses down some, you know.
See, she's like, hey, wait till I retire for that.
He's going to do it his own way no matter what. What do you mean I can't warm up? Fuck you, find me, right?
You know that's in his head. But the point is, like, if the sport is going to survive, right, like there has to be eventually some sort of.
I've got an 8-year-old son, mm-hmm. right? And 2 years ago, we went out to play baseball, and he had no idea. Trying to get him to watch a game. Hey, let's watch a Rangers game. I'm from Pittsburgh. Let's watch a Pirates game. I don't want to watch baseball, right? And then we go out, we sign him up. I get him to sign up because his friends are signing up. And literally, you start doing stuff. And even as an 8-year-old now, they don't know the rules. Mm. I mean, you can watch a kid today that's out in the field and a ball will go 2 feet away from them and they won't know they're supposed to run over and pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they won't know where to throw the ball. They won't know any of the rules at all other than when you hit the ball, you run.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't know that they struck out or didn't strike out. And if kids don't, I mean, when we were growing up, you knew everything, right?
You watched it. And we played a lot. I played a lot as a kid.
So did I. I mean, you every Saturday, you know, at nights, I mean, whatever, your travel teams, you get out there and you just play. By the time you were 8, you knew who the players were. You knew the rules. You knew everything. Not anymore. And so for football, it's the same but different, right? More kids will watch it, but parents aren't going to let them play.
Yeah, right.
And so – you know, for baseball in particular, unless you start making it so it's watchable, you're losing all those kids.
It's hard for me to watch it.
Is it?
Yeah, it's hard for me to watch it.
I mean, it's like playing this game coming up. It's like, fuck, it's going to be 2 hours, 2.5 hours, and I'm going to be out in the heat. I'm going to pull a hammy. I'll designate it hit or designate
it
run.
I mean, it's interesting because, like, it is, and it always has been chess, right? That's what it is. And so with the greatest stakes, when the drama is there, you sort of enjoy those moments.
Yeah, look,
the playoffs have been great. It's incredible.
Yeah.
But in 162,
it's rough.
It's hard to keep the action engaging.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially just watching a game.
Yeah, right.
And particularly since the chess now is math, it's all math driven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and not that it's wrong, but it's not like, well, this manager does it this way, this manager
does
it this way.
It's all because of the numbers.
Yeah, they're all trending. And some of the old school guys try to say, well, I don't. No, you've got 7 guys playing in the outfield, right? I don't care what you say, you know? And it's just like, so baseball's got to change. They really, really have to. And you know, you can't just be 60-year-old guys watching the game.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go out, you know, and even when you go to a game, they get there the third inning and they're gone by the 7th.
By the 7th, yeah.
What was cool about and encouraging, and you sort of want to see the elements of it that you can extrapolate into a larger thing, but last year seeing the way the young fans in New York really took to your team and your group, and like, because Judge, right? That's like,
of course,
that's like a freak of nature.
Remember,
athlete
New York has got 20 million people.
And I was about to say, it's, our games are easier to watch because we have the young, great players and the talent.
Right,
but if
you
if you're trying to watch a game and it's some, and you're struggling with some
if you
talent,
if you're trying to watch a Royals Rangers
game
right now,
you can say that. I'm not saying that.
Either way, look.
But
either way, you got to be
that
able
can
to
be rough, man.
You got to be able to connect to the guys, right? Because Aaron Judge, you can't miss him, right? You can't miss him, right? And you guys have been doing it long enough. Like with the Rangers, okay, I know Joey Gallo and I know Bartolo Colon, right?
Yeah,
you know? And you know. That's it.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, maybe a couple other guys I'd recognize their names, but unless you have a reason to connect, it's tough.
It's almost like it has to be produced the way you handle the Olympics, right? Where you're storytelling so that there's some sort of investment.
Even then, it's got
to
be repetition. It's got
to
be repetition. It's like, look, you know, kids play NBA 2K, and that's how they know all 15 guys on every roster because they know who they're going to pick and who they're going to play as and all this kind of stuff. Baseball. You know, football's got the same type of thing. For the Cowboys, you know, the Giants or Jets, you know the quarterback. You know maybe one other star. You know, Odell Beckham walks in, you know who he is.
Yeah.
Any of the other 50 guys?
Yeah, no. I mean, the linemen, whatever, especially with the helmets. And
That's right.
Yeah,
you don't ever see them, right?
Exactly.
People like Emmitt Smith walks around and lots of people still don't know who he is.
He tried to make himself marketable because he took his helmet off.
All the time. Yeah, exactly. Every time.
That's true.
And then they stopped that.
That was his celebration.
Yeah.
It is true.
Right? So it's tough. And so for baseball, baseball's got the same problem, right? You know, 24 of the 25 guys walk through the door. You know, and New York's just different because it's such a big, you know, there's still multiple newspapers. Dallas has got one newspaper. You know, and nobody under 60 reads it.
Yeah,
and that's where you get most of your followers. And you know, for baseball right now, and unless Grandpa takes you to the game or Dad takes you to the game, it's tough to connect, and that's what needs to change. It really needs some excitement.
Yeah. This is why we, you know, it would have been great to have Mark as an owner.
Yeah,
what about? Right?
Oh, I would have been fucking it up, right?
Yeah, I said it.
I can see it now.
We were all excited. All the players were excited.
I can see it right now. Okay, we're having bat flip practice. You're not the one getting hit, Mark. Trust me. I'll right-handed bat flip. Left-handed bat flip. Behind the back bat flip, right? Over the shoulder. You tell me.
I love it.
If the Yankees or even the Rangers, right? Joey Gallo's got, what, 10, 14 home runs, right? Yeah. After every home run, he did a different bat flip. The highlights, and at some point, they stopped throwing at him, right? Because the guys realize it's good for the game.
Right.
You know?
And if you hit so many, I mean, you can do whatever you want. I don't have a problem with guys bat flipping, pimping homers, doing whatever. Like, it's good for the don't. If you don't want to see it, don't give it up. That's what I always say.
You know,
you don't want to see it, don't give it up.
Superman going to first base. You need
that. I'm good with it.
You watch seriously. If you went in and you told Aaron Judge, right, you want to make him another $5 million. You tell him every time he dings one, he does a different type of bat flip, and then he has a mixtape of all the different bat flips. He's getting paid, right? He's on every show doing everything, right? Now, he strikes out a lot, you know, after every strikeout, maybe, you know, you have him do something, you know, he does a little, I don't know, whatever, right? But you start doing that, you think people watch?
Absolutely.
Oh, right?
Absolutely.
When
it's entertainment.
It's entertainment, and once you change things, right, when things go in a different direction, people start paying attention. Baseball is so tradition-driven.
Even the way it looks, though. It's always looked the same as when we were kids. It's the same. You see the pitcher, the catcher, maybe it's in the fielder, the shortstop. You know what I mean? Like the optics of it, if
all
they're
the
exactly the same.
All the same. Now they
we're
put
in
some
the
data
NFL,
up there.
They got the different cameras, and the NBA, you got different angles. And
yeah, and, you know, with
exactly
baseball, they put the numbers up and stuff like that. Now it's more like watching poker.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. This new StatCast stuff is
and
right.
That's fine, right?
Yeah, that's like, that's one way they're trying to, right, evolve.
But I'm telling you, you need some personality.
Yeah.
You know, you get some, right? You know, you're sweating and you're getting into it and you're pounding your glove and you're doing it, right? And that's
Bryce
who you
Harper.
Are. Yeah, yeah, Bryce Harper's got some shit to him, right?
Yep.
But, you know, you're not going to have everybody on the team do it, but, you know, guys with the personality, those personalities need to come through because, you know, Aaron Judge walks down the street of downtown Dallas. Only people from New York are stopping him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? You took 10 or 15 guys from any NBA team, and they walk through the streets of Dallas or New York. people are going to recognize them.
Immediately. They're
going to stop them.
Yeah.
It's a good point. If only. Now, well, maybe you're just going to have to tell Judge today. That way he can act out more.
No, but what would happen? So if he just started, guys would throw at him, right?
No. Not him, because he's Aaron Judge, and he hits homers. Like, that's what he does. But if it was like Gleyber Torres, and he just came up, he started doing the bat flips, guys would throw at him. Yeah.
And,
I mean, it just depends on
who
you are.
Now, it hurt like fuck, right?
But, but like you said, if he hit enough of them, eventually they'll stop doing it.
I'm telling you, but if a guy, a rookie came in, hadn't earned it yet, like Joel Embiid, right, and just started doing shit like that. You talk about brand. And if he says, you know what? Fuck them. They can hit me. It don't hurt.
Yeah. People are like, oh, I love this guy.
I love this guy, right? He'd be a hero immediately.
Oh, I love it. Mark, is there a free agent you guys didn't get that you thought was the best fit for Dirk over the years that you're like, ah, man.
Tons of them, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I can't even talk about them.
Yeah.
Right?
How does that – oh, if they're still in the league.
Yeah, they're still in the league, yeah.
Got you. What is – I mean – Dirk is such a legend. He's still doing it.
He's still going hard.
What's like a favorite Dirk story?
Oh, my God. There's so many of them. So his first All-Star is when we had Steve Nash and – was it Atlanta? I forget exactly where we were. But we told Dirk that he had to take a knapsack and a toothbrush because it's an All-Star tradition that you road trip from wherever we were to some other location.
And he bought it?
Oh, well, hook, line, and sinker. It was great.
Oh, my gosh. That's fantastic.
That is awesome.
Just so many Dirk stories. Just – yeah.
He's like, I know his work ethic's legendary. Yeah. He's doing hot yoga with you, so he's keeping himself in shape.
No, he's working. No, look, it's either stay home and take care of the kids and play dad or work out. His workouts have gotten longer and longer and longer.
And plus, when you're older, you have to do all that stuff.
You can't stop.
Just to maintain, man, to even be able to run around with these kids.
Absolutely.
You're so busy with – at least two. I mean, I'm sure you actually are, but especially to anyone on the outside looking in, like, all right, you got Shark Tank, got the esports stuff, Mavs. What's a typical day like for you?
Like today, get up, do my email, do yoga, get some shots up, come here, talk to you guys. Then I'll go back and catch up on my email again. My kids will be home from school, play around with my kids some. Watch my young son play Fortnite. Watch my two daughters do everything possible to say, leave me alone, Dad. Leave me alone, Dad. And then I'll probably go work out, do the Versa Climber class, come back, eat dinner with the family, watch the game, you know. And so I try to not do meetings or phone calls and do everything via email. Mm. And so if I have to go out in the real world or do a phone call with somebody, whatever, I'll do it. But probably more so now than in the past, but I try to do everything via email because that lets me spend time at home and around the family and everything.
And everything is draft heavy right now.
Yeah,
too, right?
Yeah. So if I'm working out or whatever, I'll on the elliptical, I'll be watching video or I'll just lay in bed and I got my iPad Pro and I'm just using Synergy Sports, just going through. I mean, literally, let's see. I haven't done Doncic yet, but Bagley, Jackson, Carter. And when Porter doesn't have a lot of body of work right now, whatever they played in college, I've watched every single possession so far.
Wow.
Yeah, not just like some, like highlights, every single possession.
Is that fun for you? Do you like that?
Yeah, I like it because it's scary. It's so scary, particularly now with the number 5 pick making a mistake.
Yeah, right,
that even though it's not going to be my decision, I'll leave it to our GM and our scouts because that's what they're good at. You know, some scouts have got good feel and some scouts don't. But I want to know, right, when they start talking about him and why they like him or don't like him and start talking about this or that they did or didn't do, I want to know that I saw it and did it and, you know, had eyes on it myself.
And I mean, are you then interviewing are you part of the interviewing process too?
Sometimes, sometimes, but I couldn't this year. They went to the combine. I couldn't go.
Gotcha.
So, but we've got a team psychologist there. We've got our coaches there, GM, assistant GM. They're all there banging on them.
You know what? It's an awesome process. That's cool, though, that you're actually sitting there going
through.
Yeah,
that
is awesome,
man.
I don't know. I can't picture that many owners doing that.
Does everybody get involved like that? The owners?
I don't know. I don't care what they do. But
I love it.
But yeah, I just love the game, you know. And if you love it, it's not like, oh, I got to watch basketball. It's just like, no, it's cool. And you start seeing things. I just love watching the game.
So yesterday, I'm telling a couple of guys in the clubhouse about that. You know, we're gonna have Mark on, and they're fired up. They're like, you know, because either they watch Shark Tank or they, you know, they're NBA fans or whatever. And Dellen Betances, one of our relievers, he's like, yo, you got to ask him about his yacht with the basketball.
No, let me just tell you.
No, just spell it. Yes,
okay,
yes,
so. A couple years ago, I get this email from somebody saying, thank you. The doctor from your yacht saved my husband's life. He collapsed right at the dock, and they came, got the boat doctor, came down, saved his life. Another time, I get a letter saying, hey, thanks for letting us work on your yacht. Problem is, I don't have a yacht. I hate boats. And so this dude that owns Sears has this boat, that huge, enormous yacht, right, called the Fountainhead, that's got a basketball court in the back. He started telling people it was my boat. I don't know the dude, right? I have no idea who this guy is. I mean, I know his name, but I've never met him. And he's telling everybody. So when you Google Mark Cuban's yacht, there's this big boat. And I get texts from friends like, bro, you were in Charleston, or your boat was in Miami, and you didn't call me? That's just wrong.
It's like ruining friendships and shit.
I get like Madonna and Ellen DeGeneres having their agent text me, oh, we're right by your boat. Can we come on board? I'm like, sure.
You should have been like, sure, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Sears guy's going to love you.
I'm like.
But also, like, if it was your boat, wouldn't you just want to tell people it's your boat, not somebody else's?
No, but it's a good story.
Yeah. Hey, and plus, he's a cool dude. So, like, if it's Cuban's boat, everybody wants to go on, right?
Cuban can get people on the boat. Let me look one step further. So, you know, page six, obviously, right?
Yeah,
so
of course.
I get this email from him. Would you like to comment about the 30 young girls that were on your boat? I'm like, I wish I was there. No, it's not my boat.
That is terrific.
That's great.
Mark, is there an event or some project that felt like a failure at the time that you look back on and say, thank God that didn't work out?
That didn't work out?
Yeah, that you look at it and say, you know what, it turned out for the best, or it helped spur a success or something
that,
like that.
That it didn't happen?
Yeah.
There's a ton of deals that you don't do that are the best deals, you know? Oh, my God.
Like, even if it was like something that felt like a failure early in your life and turned out to spring you into, you know,
well, I mean,
success.
There's stuff that I thought would fail that worked.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, like,
it's better when it goes that way.
Yeah. Shark Tank.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When I came on season two as a guest, and I was just going to do three episodes. I'm like, this is a business show, right? These guys are idiots. This shit's going to fail. You know, they bounced around from Tuesday night to Sunday night to Friday night, and I'm like, it's got no chance. But, you know, it's a network show, and maybe I get a good business. So I get on there, and I just start, fuck it, I'm buying everything.
Buying everything.
And they're like, what are you doing, you know? And then, you know, then we came back. They brought it back for the next season, and they brought me back full time. And it was like, wow. And I started to take off. And now it's like, it's a legendary show.
No, our show is great. Oh, I mean, I can watch old episodes that I've
already
watched.
Them all day. Yeah. They run them all day on CNBC. And so it's like, we're going into season 10. We start shooting in June. And I'm like, I never thought it would work. I thought it was done.
Yeah.
Is A-Rod on this next season too?
I don't know if A-Rod's coming back, but we'll have some guest sharks. A-Rod actually did a good job.
Did he?
Yeah, I was really surprised.
Because he also, as we know, like, he will prepare his ass off for anything. Like, he does not.
He doesn't leave anything to chance.
No.
So with that, you guys don't know what's walking
nothing,
in, right?
Or nothing. But what happens when you're a guest shark, they will tell you that, don't worry, it won't be something out of your wheelhouse.
Okay.
Right? So, like, when I came on initially, it was all tech type stuff. A-Rod, it was sports related type stuff. And so he was comfortable with it because he's an investor in these gyms and stuff like that. And we did a deal together for Power Shaker, Ice Shakers, with Chris Gronkowski, and they had Rob Gronkowski come on and everything. So me and A-Rod did it, invested in that, and they're killing it.
Are they?
How many different investments have you made from the show?
70 some.
Wow.
Probably close to 80, but I've sold 5 of them.
Are you tracking all of them as you go through?
I've got somebody who does it for me. I'm up some. I mean, I'm not like, well, we sold this last company for $22 million, so that, I invested like what I get. I invested like $250K and left with $5.5 million.
That's a nice return.
Yeah, that was a great return, man. Great. And they did all the work.
I feel like when I'm watching the show, if it's something on there that comes on, I'm like, oh, Cuban's gonna buy that.
You know what I mean? And there's probably a good chance I'll buy it anyway. So.
Do you know? You kind of have his rhythm down.
I'm like,
he's got it, man.
I feel like he's in on that.
You know what? It's an addictive show, too.
It really is crazy. It's crazy, the people that watch that.
It's nuts. Like, when I would tell some of my friends, I'm like, yeah, we're going to talk to Mark Cuban. It's like, I'm the biggest Shark Tank fan. Like,
it's unbelievable.
It's like, it becomes like the first thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people used to want to talk Mavs initially.
Yeah.
Now Shark Tank.
Are you a reader, Mark? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's like a favorite book of yours?
Oh, my goodness. I can go and tell you what I'm reading right
now.
Yeah,
tell us what you're reading. Okay, so you do e-books or Audible, on Kindle. Yeah.
And so, like, I've been reading a lot of history and political books, but I also read a lot of tech books about artificial intelligence. And so that's been driving me a lot because, you know, being in the tech business, you got to keep up.
Yeah.
And if you don't keep up, you fall way.
Because that is booming, right? The artificial intelligence.
So I just downloaded the Performance Cortex, which talks about guys in baseball, actually, is using all baseball, where they put these headsets on you and they look to see when you start to recognize pitches. And so, you know, people used to think eyesight was the advantage, that if you had, you know, 20/10 eyesight or whatever. But for hitters, what they're saying now is certain hitters can identify what the pitch is and where it's going to be sooner. And there's ways using these headsets that, you know, read the brain, your EGG, or I forget what it is, what the exact brainwave is, and they can know. So if you're an early detector, you've got a good chance if you've got the physical tools. If you're a late detector, you can have the best physical tools and not work. And so they were using an example of some, they tested in a couple different colleges, and how they had some guys that big, strong, quick, you know, fast bat, never made contact with certain kinds of pitches. And it was because they reacted, you know, a millisecond slower, you know, because it's all a guess. People, like, we were growing up, they watched the ball hit the bat. Mm-hmm.
Nobody keep your eyes on it.
Like, you're going to watch it right. Yeah. To this day, I tell my son that, right? Yeah. And I'm reading his book, and it's like, no, it's all a guess, right? When it starts to break, but if you watch it enough, you know what the break's going to be. But if you identify the pitch soon enough and you see the trajectory, then you say, okay, this is a curve, this is a slider, this is a fastball, this is going to go up and away because that's what this pitcher throws. But just that millisecond difference, that is the performance cortex. And I haven't got to this part. I'm still just getting started in it. But getting to the part where, can you enhance it? Can you train it so that you can be a little bit quicker?
Got you.
Because if you can identify what that ball is going to do, so if you see it's going like this and you see the spin on the ball and you see the speed and you know the pitcher and you know it's going to go like this, well, you know where to swing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So you know what CC's going to throw. You know, you're not going to know what he's going to throw, but you know when, if you can recognize which of CC's pitches it is and you know the speed, then you know where
it's going to end up. Yeah, that's insane.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like, because I was thinking, does it just identify, use it as like an evaluation tool? Oh, this person doesn't have it, this person does. We keep him, we don't. But if
we
you
all
can
have
train it.
If you can train it.
Yeah, we all have it, right?
Right.
Because you see kids hit a ball, right? And, you know, everybody can hit it until you can't, you know, physically or whatever. But if you can't identify it soon enough, then it doesn't matter.
You know who I feel like would be a good, who's an early identifier is Gardy.
Yeah.
Gardy's so, like, good at the strike zone and knowing, like, out of your hand where the ball's going to be or what it's going to do, or, like, recognizing pitches.
And
I bet you he's really good at that.
That would be interesting. You got to put the headset on.
The Performance Cortex, like, what's the name of the guy's name is Zach. What the fuck? I'm too far. I can't get to his author's name. He'll hate me.
Well, Performance Cortex.
But even, like, when he was going back talking about, like, you know, his guessing, because that's why backup sliders work so much.
Yeah.
Because guys recognize sliders and it's supposed to break. But when it backs up and it stays inside, you can throw the shit right down the middle. They'll never hit it.
Because they're expecting it to do something.
Because they're looking
else.
For it to break, because they
that's
swing for it out here. Yeah.
So that's probably in some way triggering that part of the brain.
Right, because,
that you're talking
about. Because if two pitches act the same way, and you guess, right?
Yeah.
But at least you got a 50% chance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's good. How about quote, Mark? Is there a favorite quote that you like to throw
out there? Yeah, there's a couple. And this is what I'm trying to train my kids on. How you do anything is how you do everything.
Ooh, I like that. I'm right now and down.
I knew you was going to like it.
Yeah.
And then my second quote is, the one thing in life you can control is effort.
I like that too.
Yeah.
A lot of shit won't go your way, but you can work. And I try to tell my my son's 8, my daughter's 11, and another daughter's 14. And it's like, you know, the middle daughter is really into softball. And I'm trying to, you know, how you practice and what you do when you practice, and whether it's schoolwork, whether it's sports, whether it's dance, whether it's anything, how you do what you do is exemplified in everything you do. And so if you cut corners, you're a cut corners person. You know, if you don't pick up behind yourself, right, you're not a perfectionist. You're not going to pay attention to the details of what you're trying to be good at. And then the last one is no one quits anything they're good at. You know, being good at something is fun. You know?
That's so true. I like that.
You're going to write that one down, too?
I think I am. Mark, we could keep you all day, man.
That's fun, man. I enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for doing this, man.
It was a lot of fun.
That was awesome.
Yeah, he was good, man.
Oh, man.
I was excited for that.
Interesting dude, man.
I wish he was a baseball owner.
Right?
Yeah.
I know. That's like maybe that could be the biggest takeaway from that. Like,
I wish he was a baseball owner, man.
Because even if, and obviously we only have but so much time, so we can't flush out every single idea he comes up with and whether or not they work. But the cool thing is that he's coming up with them.
Yeah. I don't know about that, like throwing, you know, a couple pitches in between. I'm too old for that shit.
Yeah,
like,
you need your warm-up pitches.
I need a little bit of rest, too. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want my rest time cutting into, like, throwing.
Yeah,
so.
I know what you mean.
But if we can do whatever we can to try to cut the games down, it'd be great.
And I love his idea just about being characters, you know, like having the individuality of it, the personality of it. You know, whatever it is, whether it's a bat flip, I love his bat flip practice, or
even just guys wearing whatever shoes they want to wear, or I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what they come up with, but it needs to change.
Yeah, right. That stuff brings value. It does. I almost brought my I have my sparkling tea sound that I'm a founding investor in. I was thinking like maybe I should bring it strategically.
That
my
was
own
shark
little
tank.
Shark tank. Yeah, exactly, my own little shark tank here. But hey, this is what we get with R2C2. Awesome conversations like this. So make sure you subscribe, you rate it 5 stars, you review it. As CC tells you, if you review it and you say nice things, you know, we're going to read it.
Ryan's going to read it.
I'm going to read it. So make sure you subscribe wherever you get your podcast, rate, review, and always download and listen.